Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi guys, I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture Football.
And I'm Andrew Ballard from What Culture Football.
And we are here with today's football news. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Football, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily football podcasts. But today we start off, Andrew, with some more good news potentially for Arsenal fans.
Yes, it looks very much like Arsenal's business for this summer pre-season, well, the season starting now, is not finished. And they're still sniffing around a player that they've been in for seemingly for the last 18 months. They've been rumoured with Hossein Aouar at Lyon. And reportedly, according to Telefoot, that in France, they were the ones that broke this news. And that's been picked up on by Sky Sports, by Dharma Chef, who picks up on so many stories and claims them as his own. But yeah, this originated from Telefoot. That Arsenal are looking to offer 36 million for the 22-year-old. Attacking midfielder, can play on the right or left as well. One of the best players in the league earned for the last season, the last 18 months probably. But Lyon are holding out for around £54 million. So yeah, there's a little bit of disparity still. So Arsenal are going in with 36 in mind. Lyon want 54. Now he's, like I said, only 22. There's a lot of clubs have been in and around, showing interest in him for the last little while. I think he'd be a great fit for Arsenal. Mm. They clearly have got a lot of interest in him. He seems like he's interested in going to Arsenal, but the only problem is that price. And as a result, Arsenal may need to sell before they can fully go in and negotiate properly with Lyon and get towards what Lyon are asking for the player. And on that side of things, Lucas Torreira, Sokratis, Saïd Kolasinac are three players that are looking to be on their way out of the Emirates to raise funds for this deal. Torreira is in talks to go to Torino on loan with an obligation to make the deal permanent for £22 million at the end of the season. And there's lots of teams here for Sokratis and Kolasinac. So if they can get those three out, then they can go in for Hossein Aouar. And I mean, I think it'd be a great sign. And he's been at Lyon since he's 11, made his debut at the age of 17 back in February 2017, received his first proper call up to the senior French national side last month, August, for the Nations League games that France had. Unfortunately, he had to drop out due to a positive test result. But it'll be another great signing for Arsenal, I think. I don't know if maybe Lyon wanting the 54 million might be a little steep right now in the current market we're in. Mm. But if Arsenal could get some agreement for this, I mean, they've already signed Willian on a free transfer. They've seen Gabriel at centre-half, who scored in his debut this past weekend for £24 million from Lille. Pablo Mari's been made permanent for Flamengo. And also Cedric Soares from Southampton's been made permanent after being on loan there. So if they can bring in Hossein Aouar, I think it'd be a great bit of business. And hopefully he'd be somebody that could come and ignite some spark at Arsenal, especially after that. I mean, admittedly, they're expected to beat Fulham, but it was a very good performance to start the Premier League weekend. And everything seems positive at the moment around the Emirates, which is, I don't know, maybe something that Arsenal fans haven't been used to in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, ominous almost. Mm, I like that Arsenal seemingly adopting the whole Vindaloo strategy. Just score one more goal in your opponents. Never mind about defenders. Yes, obviously they've signed a few, but that attacking line is insane now. They've got Aubameyang, you know, you've still got Lacazette. They've got Willian now added to it. If you get this guy along with, you know, Nketiah and the youth players that we saw brought last season, Saka. Just such an exciting time for Arsenal. I'm really happy for someone like Simon Miller, who's had to sit through a lot of crap over the last few years. This would be a great signing. Yeah, if they can get him for around sort of 40 million, I think it's worth it. And like you say, they're looking already to sell players, so it's not like they're scrabbling around. Trying to just get people out of the league. They don't want to leave. I think Mikel Arteta should be praised for really turning this club around, and they are one to watch this season. I think genuine contenders for sort of top six and a decent cup run, I'd say. But it'd be really interesting to see how this plays out over the next few days and weeks. Because, as I said, when we talked about the weekend's fixtures, I thought Arsenal's win was the best one of the weekend, purely because, you know, it wasn't the most sensational performance. It wasn't the most, you know, mind-blowing result. But it was a game that the old Arsenal, not the old Arsenal, would have traditionally sort of struggled in, and they made it look very easy. And like you say, seeing someone like Willian, who they got on a free transfer, which still blows my mind, showcasing what he can do for that club. Really exciting time to be an Arsenal fan. Let's move on and talk yet again about Barcelona. God, this club is a sodding shambles at the moment. They've got about, I don't know, five players who probably want to play for them to start next season. And as if things couldn't get much worse for Ronald Koeman, he's got Messi there, but really not wanting to be there. He won't be able to sit on the Barcelona bench in an official match as things stand right now. This is reported by sports journalist Helena Condis just yesterday. Last night it was reported. The reason being is that technically, Quique Setién might still officially be Barcelona manager. The necessary paperwork hasn't been done yet. And the reason why that hasn't gone through is an official severance package hasn't been agreed. Setién apparently doesn't agree with it. He wants a certain proportion of money that Barcelona clearly aren't willing to give him. It makes things even more confusing and messed up, as I said, at the Camp Nou. And it may mean that Ronald Koeman is not allowed, even though he has been doing in the preseason friendlies, to sit on the bench for their season opener against Villarreal soon.
Absolutely insane. I know back in the day when I first started watching Wrexham, my beloved Wrexham, which I have to drop in obligatory at least once a day in these videos, our manager Brian Flynn in the 90s used to always sit up in the stand and have the coaches in the dugout. But that was by choice.
Yeah.
He could have gone to the dugout if he wanted to. But yeah, it's just yet another twist in the tail of what is just becoming a farce at Barcelona. Yeah. Farcelona, there we go.
Hey.
Yes. Cooking. I don't know what I mean. So by this definition, then, could Quique Setién just turn up on match day and go, right, I'm not a manager, but I can sit here just arms back in the dugout. I don't know, do a Jacob Rees-Mogg lying across the dugout.
Oh, God.
I know it's I don't know.
Lionel, so good to still have you at the club. Pop the gloves on, you're in net today.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well. So, and then you can think like, well, where can Koeman go? Can he do a Bielsa and sit on a bucket in front of a dugout maybe? does he have to sit in the stands? So many questions. I mean, I think it's this weekend that La Liga kicks off, actually. Possibly.
It's certainly later on this month.
In my head, I had like the round about the 20th, and I'm just looking at the date thinking, is it this weekend that this is still rattling on, and they've still got all these issues with the squad and the players that the manager doesn't want there, and the players that don't want to be there, i.e. Lionel Messi, and there's the saga with Luis Suarez where he's seemingly digging his heels in, biting down, as it were, to say that he's not going unless he gets a load of money to go. But I mean, this is the situation that these clubs get themselves in because they're contracts. They're legally binding contracts that you agree to. And then if you sack somebody, and part of that is that, well, because you've sacked him, you owe him this money. And then you're going, actually, no, I don't want to pay that. Doesn't really work like that. No. And likewise with Suarez, you can't just say, right, Louis, off you pop, and expect him just to walk away from the guarantee money he's got there as a deal. It's a little bit like, I mean, we saw with Gareth Bale at Real Madrid, we saw with Alexis Sanchez at Manchester United, where you offer these big contracts, you tie these players down for so long, and then you all of a sudden you don't want them there and you want to get rid of them, and it's like, it's not that easy. You've guaranteed them this money, you've offered these deals. And in this case, it's the manager, the ex-manager, Quique Setién. And if you're Ronald Koeman, you're just thinking, all I want to do is bring some Dutch players in and play football. Now I can't even sit in my own dugout. And they're still trying to get this Memphis Depay deal over the line. And Gini Wijnaldum, you've got Messi there, but not there.
They're not the only Spanish club in a complete mess right now, but we'll get to that in due course.
But before we get to that, we'll just take a little pit stop over in Ligue 1 in France. Myself and Adam Nicholas earlier this week reported about the the scenes at Paris Saint-Germain and Marseille over the weekend, which the game ended 1-0 to Marseille, but the bigger talking point was the five red cards in injury time, three for Paris Saint-Germain and two for Marseille, and the claims of racism by Neymar, Alvaro Gonzalez being a complete...
Let's just say git.
It's something that's a house. That's all we're saying. The fallout of that now that the French government body have labeled, well, thrown out a whole load of bans to the five players who were sent off in those closing moments. Dario Benedetto for Marseille has gotten off the lightest. He has had a one-game ban. Neymar and Leandro Paredes for Paris Saint-Germain have had two-game bans. Jordan Amavi for Marseille has had a three-game ban. Alivin Kazawa, who booted Jordan Amavi, has had a six-game ban. But not just that. That isn't even it. Because Angel Di Maria may also... Well, he is in trouble. It's just a matter of how much in trouble, because he's been ordered to attend a disciplinary commission meeting on September the 23rd over claims that he spat at Alvaro Gonzalez. Alvaro Gonzalez, the Marseille centre-half, who is alleged to have made the racist comments at Neymar. And there's video that seems to suggest Di Maria may have spat in his direction. This is a Di Maria who only the week prior had tested positive. And then there's even more to this, because as well as the claims of racism by Neymar against Alvaro Gonzalez, which we're not going to repeat it here, but if you go on social media, you can find exactly what is being alleged has been said to Neymar. And if true, it is absolutely horrendous, and they need to throw the book at Alvaro Gonzalez if indeed this is true. But on the flip side of that, now Spanish TV have picked up alleged again of Neymar using homophobic language towards Alvaro Gonzalez, which again, if true, is despicable, and there's no place for that. We've already seen with the six, well, the five suspensions and Di Maria being now called to a disciplinary meeting, that there's a lot gone on here already, and it looks like there's still more to come from this. With obviously they've got to take these allegations of racism and the homophobia seriously, and it remains to be seen what the full fallout of this is.
Yeah, catastrophic start to the season. This no place, as you said, for any of these comments, racial, homophobic. It's 2020, guys. It shouldn't be happening in the sport. Look, it's always fun to sort of see games where it's just carnage at the end and five red cards. But I think the whole catalyst for this and the fallout of it, it's a real black eye for the sport. And just it's horrific. And they need to, as you sort of said there, Andrew, they need to be punished to the fullest extent, because it shouldn't exist. It should not exist in the sport nowadays. And yet it is something that persists and it needs to be stamped out. We've been saying this for years, but
yeah,
maybe if this can be the catalyst for change, I don't see it being, to be perfectly honest. No. I don't want to sound too defeatist, but yeah, outrageous if any of these allegations are true, and just not something we want to see.
No, and with the racism allegations from Neymar, there's a clip from, I believe it's the 36th or 37th minute of the game, where he's saying to the referee, look, I've just been racially abused, and he's pointing at it looks like Alvaro Gonzalez, the centre-back from Marseille, and he's, so this is after nearly just over half an hour of the game, you've got a player going to the referee and making this allegation that he's been racially abused, and from Neymar's point of view, it seems like he feels that's gone on for the rest of the game, and he's reached the boiling point, and then he's lashed out at the player. He's alleged to have retaliated by using homophobic racism, which doesn't make it correct. It's a whole horrible situation, really.
And not to assume anything, but I think it's fair to say Neymar has somewhat of a reputation when it comes to, you know, drawing fouls or getting bookings. But this is completely separate to all that. So I would hope that referee didn't think, oh, he's just trying to gain an edge on his opponent. These accusations and allegations should always be taken 100% seriously until they are proven to be false, in my opinion. It shouldn't be happening. But let's quickly return to La Liga, well, not La Liga, but Spanish football, and talk about Malaga, because the club is in a real state at the moment, and it's come out that the owner, Sheikh Abdullah Al-Thani, I'd assume, they owe the club a total of 8.5 million euros, money that has allegedly been embezzled from the club. This reported by Marca. The family owe the club a total of 7.3 million euros in loans and credit lines. They've just had a 1.2 million euro addition to that as a result of more of this developing after the report came out in March of this year. I mean, it's outrageous that anyone could still do this to a football club in 2020, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, the talk is with a lot of teams, there's a lot of financial concerns because of the climate of the world in 2020. A lot of teams are losing out on revenue streams, whether that's losing out on match day experiences or whether that's losing out on tours or selling merchandise at games. There's a lot of money being lost in that regard, but this is nothing to do with that. This is going back before that. And it's, yeah, you've got to look at the people running Spanish football and you're thinking there's got to be legislation in place to stop things like this happening. You'd like to think, I'm not sure on the ins and outs of that, but you'd like to think there's an equivalent of like the kind of fit and proper persons test or the financial deep dives that they do on how clubs are run. But even when those sort of things are in place, we've seen over here in the UK of even you can pass over tests, you can prove that financially you're solvent, you can prove that you're running smoothly. And there's a lot more going on behind the scenes that people don't know. And it's awful news for Malaga. And you're just thinking, well, what is next for this club?
Yeah, absolutely. Really thoughts go out to Malaga fans right now. And I don't want to sound like my dad, but I just see these sort of stories and think, oh, God, the game's gone, hasn't it? Like, gone are the days where these football clubs are self-sufficient entities. They are now businesses that, you know, outrageous amounts of money go in between. And the fact that someone can come in and just borrow against a club, my mind is obviously cast back to when the Glazers took over Manchester United, for example. That's a very different state of affairs, obviously. But it's madness. And, you know, again, you've got to hope that issues like this make governing bodies realise that there need to be tighter restrictions, because otherwise this could happen to any football club. I mean, I know as a Chesterfield fan what it's like to have someone come in and nearly destroy your football club through borrowing money or just taking money straight out of the football club. It's the last thing any football fan would want to experience. And it needs to be stopped. Let us know your thoughts on that and all of today's stories in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Football on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from for daily football podcasts right out and about. You can also follow us on Twitter and continue the conversation there at What Culture FC. Watch there. Follow both of us. Andrew, where people can get you on Twitter?
Yeah, you can get me at Cultured Left Peg.
And you can find me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture FC, as I said. But this has been today's football news. Thanks to Andrew Pollard. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.